أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين We continue with the last couple of verses of Surah Al-Qadr where it says تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر. In it the angels and the spirit descend by the leave of their Lord with every command. It is peaceful until the rising of the dawn. Regarding the تنزل الملائكة or تنزل الملائكة which as I said last week it is تتنزل الملائكة the angels descend of course the descent of angels is not a physical thing because this we are talking about different dimensions of the world so they go from a higher dimension which is closer to the center of command of the world to Arsh to a lower dimension, which is farther away, where things are measured, where things are decided, and are the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are implemented. This is how it happens. They come from a higher to a lower dimension. And this coming down, which they say in some exegesis we have that they come down to the first sky. Now, coming down to the first sky means that they come to the closest dimension of where we live. Because above us is the first sky, then there is a second sky. It's not a physical thing. These are levels of decision making or levels of or different dimensions being farther away from the center of command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what happens on Laylatul Qadr. They come down. Now they come down in what sense? Here it says, min kulli amr. They come down with every command. Now if you remember, we said that in Suratul Duhan, it says that, inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubarakah, إِنَّا كُنَّا مُنزِلِينَ فِيهَا يُفْرَقُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ On that night, which is Laylatul Qadr, the blessed night, every firm decision is made or is separated from the center of command. It is issued. Every firm command is issued. Now, how this timely dimension in our world is related to the timeless dimension when it goes up to the world of angels and then to the center of command which is Arsh. How these are related we don't know. It is beyond our grasp of understanding because we are always in time and there is outside the time. How these two dimensions which are completely different from each other, they join and they come together is very difficult for us or even impossible for us to understand. We know that this happens at certain times in our frame of living, which is of course a timely frame. It happens there, but how it is connected is very difficult for us to understand it. It's just like the way the places on this earth are connected to some aspects of the other dimensions, like, for example, the life in Barzakh. We say that the grave of every person is the place where they live in Barzakh. It is connected to either a huge garden or forest or whatever, or it is connected to a pit of hell in Barzakh. How this connection is made is very difficult for us to understand. Or, for example, the Prophet, peace be on him, said that ما بين قبري ومنبري روضة من رياض الجنة. Between my pulpit and my grave is one of the gardens of paradise. This is the connection which is made between this dimension and the dimension which is in the world of Barzakh. But we don't know how it happens, how this connection is made. Exactly in the same way, we don't know how this time connection is made between our world, which is in a time frame, and a world which is without time. What this surah is telling us is that this happens on a certain night. Although it's a continuous process, but on a certain night, this connection opens the way for all the commands of the year to go in a timely manner, in a time frame, on this earth. So the angels come down with every command. Min kulli amr. Now here, min, the best meaning that we can get from min here is min ajli kulli amr, to implement every command. They come down to implement every command. Now it is not only the malaika which come down. It says that تنزل الملائكة والروح. Not only angels, but the ruh as well. It comes down. Now, what is ruh? The exegetes have given different meanings for ruh. They say these are a type of angels, the ruh, because you know angels have myriads of types, as we have different species on this earth, which God knows how many species, especially if we want to count those species which live in the oceans, it's very difficult to count. We have much more types in the world of angels than in this world. And in fact, many people say, of course it's a guess, that every angel is a type for itself. We don't have a species of angels. We have types, which, of course, every individual angel is a type for itself. But this is not supported, because, for example, in Surah Furqan, we have the idea of angels having junah, uli ajnaha. In Surah Fatir, Alhamdulillah, Fatir, thank you. Fatir as-samawati wal-ard, ja'il al-malaikati rusulan uli ajniha, mathna wa thulatha wa ruba. The praise is the one who created the world out of nothing and making angels having junah or ajniha. Well, ajniha, we say wings. When you go to the common translation of the Quran, they say making angels of the possessors of wings, some of them two wings, some of them three wings, some of them four wings, and we think that they are like butterflies having wings and flying. Well, this could not be the right understanding of the types of angels. It may mean that they have wings in the sense of, as we have wings in the army, right wing of the army, left wing of the army, they have groups, clusters of angels. For example, Jibreel, when it goes everywhere, there are clusters of angels. Some of them have two clusters of angels going with them, some of them three clusters of angels, some of them four clusters of angels, depending on the level of their existence. And this is supported by many, many different traditions. For example, we have this tradition that on Laylatul Badr, when on the Battle of Badr, on the night when Amirul Mu'minin wanted to go and bring some water, he later on mentioned to the Prophet, when he was delayed, and Prophet asked him, why were you delayed? He said that there were winds coming, very ferocious winds, that I had to just stick to the ground so that the winds would not take me. And the Prophet said, no, these were not winds, they were angels passing by you. It was Jibreel with thousands of angels, which is usually going with Jibreel, and Mikael with thousands and thousands of angels. So this ajnaha, clusters of angels, shows that not every individual angel is a type in itself. We have different types. Anyhow, that was just a digression from what we were discussing. Some people say that Ruh is a type of angels, from among the angels. And the reason for it is that Jibreel is also called Ruh. نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُنذِرِينَ. This Quran is descended to your heart, comes down to your heart by Ruh al-Amin, the trusted spirit. Therefore, Jibreel, we know that Jibreel brings that to the heart of the Prophet, and Jibreel here is called Ruh al-Amin. So, تنزل الملائكة والروح would be the angels, including Jibreel, would come down on that night. However, this is somehow not supported by other verses of the Quran, and especially in Shia traditions, we have that Ruh is a type of creation absolutely different from angels. So, this is a world which is completely shut to us, its knowledge is shut to us. We do not understand what type of world it is, but there are different types. As angels are different from us, and angels are managing our world behind the scene, we don't see it. What we see is just the sort of cause and effect, chain of cause and effect here. But this chain of cause and effect is maintained by angels behind the scene, as they are managing this world and the chain of cause and effect. The world of angels is managed by a higher type of creation, a higher kind of creation, which is called Ruh. So, Ruh, as we have in many of our traditions, خَلْقٌ أَعْظَمُ مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. It is a creation bigger than angels. It's a creation which manages the world of the angels. So, the world of angels is not managed directly by God again. There is another level. And then beyond that, maybe other levels which are completely unknown to us. Now, about the Ruh, of course, there were always questions about the Ruh. And that what is this Ruh which are mentioned, which is mentioned in scriptures? You know that in the beginning, while the Prophet was preaching in Mecca, the kuffar of Quraysh went to Jews and told them, you tell us, ask them, you tell us, what should we do with this Prophet, with this man who claims to be the Prophet? And then they said, pose to him questions. And they told them, ask them three things. In Surah Kahf and Isra, we have these questions being posed to the Prophet, that ask them about the group of people who went to a cave, and they had a story. What was their story? Ask him about Dhulqarnain, and ask him about Ruh. What is Ruh? And since the people of the book themselves didn't have any knowledge of the Ruh in their books, so they said, if he tells you that he knows anything about Ruh, know that he is an imposter, because no one knows anything with regards to Ruh. Now, when the question was posed to the Prophet, this is mentioned in Surah Isra, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ, they ask you about Ruh. قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرَ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Say, Ruh is something which is from the area of the knowledge of my God. مِنْ أَمْرَ رَبِّي either means from the command of my Lord. That's, of course, some exegetes have elaborated on that. Or it is an area of knowledge which pertains only to God. No one knows what Ruh is. For example, the prophets know what angel is, how angels come to them, what angels are, they know it. Because it's not only one angel which comes to the prophet. Many, many different angels go to the prophet, even just to say salam to him, not to bring any revelation to them. So they know how the angels are, what is their world, how they understand the world, what is the action and reaction of angels. They know of that world, but about Ruh, they don't know anything. So قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. This is what was said by the Prophet. However, why جبرائيل is called روح الأمين. نزل به الروح الأمين على قلبك لتكون من المنذرين. Because every creation which has a sort of connection to the Lord is called ruh. Like human soul is called ruh as well. Human soul is called ruh because of that aspect which has a connection to the Lord. Jibreel is called ruh, of course, in a much greater sense, because it is much more, the connection of Jibreel with the Lord is much more greater, so it's called ruh. And they are called ruh because this ruh, which is something completely different from angels, is actually the most intimate creation with the Lord. Because of that ruh, other things which have some connection with the Lord, they are called ruh as well. So we have ruh al-Qudus, for example. Now ruh al-Qudus, whatever it is, again, we don't know whether it's Jibreel. It may be Jibreel, again, with another sort of looking at Jibreel. From one angle it is ruh al-Amin, from another angle it may be ruh al-Qudus, it's the Holy Spirit. However, it's called ruh because of the sort of similarity which exists between him and that ruh which is above all. And our soul as well has some similarity because of the connection that it can make with the Lord. Now, do we have one ruh in the world of creation, or different types of ruh? Again, this is something which no one knows. Certainly, the world of ruh, as it's mentioned in the Quran, is unknown to human being. It's a level of creation which is completely above the level of grasp. When I say grasp, I mean more than intellectual grasp. I mean even a spiritual grasp of human being cannot reach that level of understanding what ruh is, probably. However, in Sahif al-Sajjadiyya, the third dua of Imam Zainul Abidin is very, very interesting. And it's very interesting to know at what age Imam Zainul Abidin actually composed each of these prayers. Because you see that they are completely different. Spiritually, they are completely different. Or they are composed in different situations of a soul, which is very much connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sometimes you see, it's absolutely about the worldly matter, but it's put in a very, very spiritual language that you just love to be able to communicate with the Lord in something similar to this language. And sometimes you see it's absolutely beyond this world. It talks about things which are completely beyond this world. Now one of these is when Imam Zainul Abidin is actually expressing his appreciation to all creation which are in work, so that this world is living and continuing, and his life is continuing because of all these. And of course one of these are the angels. And then he expresses his gratitude and appreciation to angels by saying, Ya Allah, greet this angel, greet that angel, the angels which do this, the angels which do that. And then he comes to ruh. He says, وَالْرُوحَ أَلَّذِي عَلَىٰ مَلَائِكَةِ الْحُجُبِ والروح الذي هو من أمرك. Now, this shows that there are different ruh. As we have different angels, we have different ruh as well. Although ruh is never used in plural sense, in plural form, it's always singular. In this sense, of course, arwah we use for human beings, not in the sense of this type of creation. However, he distinguishes between different types of ruh. The ruh which is in charge of Malaikatul Hujub. Now, what are Malaikatul Hujub? These are angels which are even greater than Jibreel and Mikael. Why? Because these are the angels which are the sort of interface between God and this world. So they are above every other angel. And he says there is a ruh which is in charge of them. والروح الذي هو على ملائكة الحجوم. And there is a ruh which we don't know anything about it. That's والروح الذي هو من أمرك. There is a ruh which is from your command or in the area of your knowledge. We don't know anything about it. He expresses his appreciation for that, although it is of course a very enigmatic being for the human world. Now, here it says that تنزل الملائكة والروح. The angels descend, the ruh descend. What ruh is this? Is this الروح الذي هو من أمرك, or الروح الذي هو على ملائكة الحجب, or a different type of ruh? We don't know. And we better just leave it as that. This is not in the area of our understanding. And in fact, Surah Al-Qadr in itself is not in the area of our understanding. It is something which is absolutely, as I said last week, is a complete surah of mutashabahat in the Quran, which is very difficult to understand its meanings. However, it implies that when the affairs are being, when the commands are being issued by the Lord, things are decreed, destinies are made, it is the angels with a ruh. Now, is this not the ruh who is in charge of those angels? Probably. Maybe every number of angels, they may have a ruh in charge of them. Or all the angels who somehow implement the commands of God for this world, they have a ruh in charge of them. And of course, we shouldn't think that it's only this world that Allah has created. There may be many other worlds absolutely unknown to us. Why should God talk about them? God is not going to go around and boast about His creation. He may have many, many other different creations which He hasn't talked about. He talks about angels because they are related to our world. Because to understand our world, we have to understand what they are. And ruh, of course, however, when it goes beyond that, or to absolutely other dimensions of creation, Allah is completely silent about it, because why should He talk about something which is completely unrelated to our life, whether in this world or the next world? So these are the malaika and ruh in charge of them, which are working in this world. They come, they descend بإذن ربهم من كل أمر من أجل كل أمر, to implement what Allah has issued in the sense of decrees and decisions. Now, we say that the decisions are made on this night. That means, well, the traditions have described this for us, that means the amount of rizq that you are going to have in this year. And so it shows that the decrees have levels of issuance. One is what is destined from the beginning of creation for everyone, for the whole creation. And then there are gradual dispatching of this command to our world, which then it is completely susceptible to change. It accepts change. Because when we say year by year, it is decreed and destined, it means that year by year it may change. Now, here it says that they come to implement those destinies which are made for 1 year. And in Surah Duhan it says, فِيهَا يُفْرَقُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ. Every firm command and decision is made on that night. It means it is issued to the angels. When it's issued, that means it's made. Not that Allah should make His mind every year. No, it comes down to angels. This is how it is made, to angels. So what happens here is that it is destined that this year, how many morsels of rice, for example, you have to eat. How many glasses of water you have to drink, how many of such and such things should come to you, the quality of your life, even the quantity, if it's going to be ended in this year, it is all made in that night. Does that mean that then it could not be changed? Well, the Surah Furqan says, Surah Dukhan says, "Min kull amrin hakim," every firm decision. Firm means it's finished now, you cannot do anything about it. However, the world of God is an amazing world. It's firm, but yes, you can change it very easily. With one dua, you can change it. With one act, you can change it. It's a very, very complicated world. Something that does not come under a sort of nice and neat criterion. That you say, okay, if this firm decision is made, then nothing could be changed. I have to make everything into Laylatul Qadr, and then after that, nothing could be changed. No, it's not that way. It could be changed. It's just like a sort of blueprint given to the angels in that night, which some places have open ends that you could change them during the year. And it is very interesting that you could change it. The angels cannot change it. The angels only implement whatever it is there. It is you who can change it. How? With dua, you can change it. With your acts, you can change it. A good act would bring a new good decree. An evil act would bring a new evil decree. So it is somehow changeable. You may say, then what's the point of having Laylatul Qadr if every night, every day, things could be changed? No, that's blueprint is given. The plan is given. That's the plan according to which the angels will work, unless you change it. If you change it, then that's a different issue. Otherwise, it goes the way which has been destined. So this is probably, always have this in mind, probably the meaning of this verse. تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلَّ عَامٍ. They come down to implement every command. سَلَامٌ هِيَ حَتَّى مَطْلَعِ الْفَاجِ. So, حَتَّى مَطْلَعِ الْفَاجِ means this business of angels coming down to the earth or to the first heaven and trying to implement the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, things which are made for 1 year, this continues until the dawn, matla' al-fajr, and then they will go up. Now, what does it mean? If they go up, who then implements things? They should be there during the year. No, they come down, they give these orders and commands to other angels, and then they leave. So these are higher angels who come down with the ruh, give the commands to the lower, the soldiers, and soldier angels, so to speak. So we have commanders, we have soldiers, they give it to soldier angels. Of course, we don't want to talk in a military sense here, to those who are going to implement, to lower staff, so to speak, they give it to them, and then they leave. And they are there until dawn. So it's a time frame sort of thing, which angels, in a sense, the angels descend from a timeless world to a time frame world. They descend to a time frame world, and then in this one night, from the Maghrib of Laylatul Qadr to the dawn, it says it is peaceful. Salamun hiya hatta matla' al-fajr. Now, salam here, what does it mean? Some say that on this night only the commands of God, which are, so to speak, peaceful, which are in a sense for the good of humanity, come down. Not the things which are harmful. Now, then the question may be, okay, those decrees which are harmful, when they come down, well, they should come down on Laylatul Qadr as well. So that's why some experts say that, well, every command of God is peaceful, because God is peace. He is Allahumma anta salam, wa minka salam, wa ilayka ya'udu salam. Peace is His absolute peace. He does all these things just to keep us continue living. Even those commands which harm, it is because of the benevolent nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bringing things which are in good of humanity in general, although it might harm specific individuals because they have somehow diverted from the path of peace, it harms them. But everything is peaceful. Some say that this peace or salam is only for mu'minun until the dawn. And they say that in a very popular sense, they say that these angels come down to this time frame world, and whenever they pass by a mu'min, they greet them. And if they pass by a kafir, they just turn away from them. Because the angels are absolutely opposite side of kufr. So, and when we say salamun here hatta matla'ish fajr, means until dawn these angels roam around in this world. Of course, don't take it in a physical sense. And then every mu'min they see, they greet them. But the greeting of angels is not just saying salamun alaykum like we do. It is again bringing those good blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This cannot be, something which we can accept, that only for mu'minun this salam comes on Laylatul Qadr. This means that the command of Allah, as I said, is very general. It comes, it brings peace to the world, and even if someone is to be punished, is to be deprived, is because of that peace. It's just like creation of hell. Why Allah has created hell? Because to leave those who are good in peace. Otherwise, those sort of untamed individuals, which their souls are full of greed and hatred, will destroy every good soul. So Allah has kept them in one place. So it's again for the peace, for the good of the whole creation, that the hell is created. As we have in Surah Anfal, that why Allah has created hell, لِيَجْعَلَ الْخَبِيثَ بَعْضَهَا عَلَى بَعْضٍ, to put the evil over evil, فَيَرْكُمَهَا, compress it, فَيَجْعَلَهَا فِي جَهَنَّمٍ, put it in the hell, close the door. Okay, you go there and let the rest of the creation live in peace. This is, of course, the meaning that even the hell is a manifestation of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's not mercy for those who live in hell, of course. It's mercy for the rest of the population of human beings who have to live in peace. That is the philosophy here as well. Every destiny comes from that benevolent, peaceful being which only gives his blessings. And these blessings, when it come down, when it is somehow distributed among people, then some people are harmed by it. Exactly like what Allah says about the Quran. It is guidance. It comes to all human beings. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. It comes as a shifa and rahma and mercy. However, the kuffar are harmed by it. Not because it is meant to harm the kuffar, because the kuffar take it in that way and they are harmed by it. So everything which comes down on this Laylatul Qadr is a peaceful, a benevolent command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it goes until Matla'ul Fajr. Then these angels would leave these commands of Allah for the lower angels to implement it in a timely manner, day by day, night by night. Because those angels which come down, they are from a more timeless sort of world. These angels which work with us, the poor creation, they have to come with our time and they have to do things in time, and so these are given to them to be implemented during that time. These are just some thoughts about these verses. As I said, the true meaning of it is only known by God and the Ulul Ilm, and these were just some thoughts about it. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. We'll now have questions and answers.
Sheikh, I mean, from this, of course, we know it's Laylatul Qadr is one night, yeah. But I mean, we know that we have Laylatul Qadr in different places at different days. So which night do they select to come?
I don't know. some people say, well, people have given thought on that, but it's all conjectures actually. Some people say, as we have 24 hours of night round the earth, if we go round the clock on the earth, we have 24 hours of night. So they say Laylatul Qadr is 24 hours. And therefore, as the night sets in different places on the earth, this Laylatul Qadr comes down, and the 24 hours of Laylatul Qadr we have, and according to the Fajr of every location, the angels would stay until that time and leave. This might be a good answer to that. Otherwise, well, it's very difficult really to understand how it works.
Any more questions?
Sheikh, I had heard a few years back one of the interpretations of this Laylatul Qadr. You explain about the... We only see the cause and effects of the angels. The interpretation that I had heard is that, for example, the sound that comes out, although we understand scientifically that it travels through the air and there are waves, all that different... But the explanation was given that...
So far. You say we understand scientifically, yeah. So far. In
okay,
future,
so it's
they
the angels. It's the angels who actually are involved in...
The angels are what, sorry?
Involved in transmitting the sound and are involved somehow in getting the sound from one place to the other.
No, everything which happens in this world, we are to, even the drops of rain which come to the earth, we have in traditions with every drop comes an angel, which brings it. Of course, we have small angels, we have huge angels. As I said, the types, the species, different species of angels are much more than the type of species that we have in this world. However, that is not going to interfere with the chain of cause and effect that we see here. It is behind this, it is beyond it. So for every cause to have an effect, to work, there should be an angel behind the scene. This is the sort of ontology that we have about the creation in a religious sense, according to Islamic theology, that for every cause to work and to have an effect, there should be an angel working. So every bit of piece and small pieces of actions which take place in this world, like for example drops of rain coming down, or even these sounds going through the waves, they need angels to work behind the scene. However, if we replace the angels with the causes, then we are absolutely, we have missed the point. We become superstitious, we become really someone who denies all science and the chain of cause and effect. If we understand it as something which does not interfere with this worldly or material way of things working, then that is an ontology which we should only get it from a higher source. We cannot, of course, ourselves understand. You never, ever in science can pinpoint an angel saying that this angel is now working here, because that's in a different dimension. But yes, God can inform you, prophets can inform you that behind what you see, behind the scene, there are other things which are working, and we take it from them, not from our own experience.
So, to round up, I suppose we can say that we are living in the world of angels rather than the world of materials, for example. Because behind every material there is an angels involved.
Yes, but we don't live in their world yet. Inshallah, when we die, we go to their world. Yeah. But yet, we are not living in their world, we are living in our world. And the poor angels have to somehow put up with us, with everything.
تعرج الملائكة والروح إليه في يوم كان مقداره 50,000 سنة. Does that give a clue to the same ملائكة والروح وليلة القدر؟
تعرج الملائكة والروح إليه في يوم كان مقداره 50,000 سنة. This refers to the day of judgment. It says the angels and the ruh, the same combination. And we have this combination in many, many other verses of the Quran. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ صَفَّ. The angels and the ruh, they stand. So it all shows that ruh is different from angel. It's a different creation from angels. That verse which says ruh and angels move up towards him in a day which the duration of which is 50,000 years, means 50,000 years if it wanted to happen on your earth, in your world. But it's a different time frame, of course. However, it probably refers to the return of everything to the Lord. كُلٌّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجُونَ. Everything would return to him. So even the angels and ruh, which are now somehow dispatched from his ash, they return to him as all creation, human beings and everything return to him. And this is a very good news, of course. I mean, we have been somehow separated from him, and then we are going to go back and reside beside him, and the angels and ruh as well. And this idea of ta'aruj or mi'raj is it implies the upgrading of the type of creation. So even angels and ruh, when the day of judgment comes, they will be upgraded to a new level of creation. As we discussed before, that akhirah is a completely different world. This world would somehow emerge into the world of akhirah with whatever it is there, human beings, angels, ruh and everything. And when that day comes, then even the angels and ruh are upgraded in their creation, as human beings are upgraded in their creation. It's all benevolence. We usually think that it's just taking us into account. Allah wants to somehow say, now this is now the day that I want to somehow make my revenge. This is the way we think. But what is there actually is just the benevolent nature of Allah's blessings, which takes everything up to him.
Any questions on lady side? Okay, Nazar.
Sheikh, so in the context of what we heard today, the question arises in my mind, which is quite simplistic in a way, that what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then?
What is Allah?
Yes, I mean, should I just accept it? Yes, there is that one powerful whatever. Or should I really be dwelling my mind into trying and pinpoint as much as I can in my own self as an individual to understand him better? Not that my faith in him would necessarily differ, But whilst I know all the attributes and characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I really am having great difficulty, or have been unable, that's the right truth, to pinpoint what Allah is. Whilst one spectrum, if I try and relate Him as much as I can to human level, because he listens, he rewards, he penalizes, but then he's not physical, he can't be based at one geographical location. We don't know where the location is, if at all there is a location. And on the
there is
other
nowhere.
On the other side, is it just systems? Is it systems, collection of systems, that manages the whole universe and beyond, but then it loses its human touch, if you know what I mean.
Yes, it's always this dilemma between transcendence and immanence of God, between tanzih and tashbih. We have to say He's beyond, and then again we have to say He's quite close, and that is always the dilemma about God. Well, what is God? No one knows. Ya man la ya'lamu ma huwa illa hu. No one knows what you are. And no one will ever know. No one will ever know. Even when we go to paradise where we are living in His vicinity, we never know what He is. However, we experience somehow in this world, in the next world, as we move on, our experiences of Him will become greater and greater and greater. Now we can see, we can touch, we can taste, we can hear. This is God, of course, that we are experiencing. It is the word of God. It is His creation. It is Atharu Rahmatullah that we are experiencing. This is the amount of the capacity given to us in this world to experience Him. When we go to the next world, we experience Him more. When we go to paradise, inshallah, we experience Him more. And more of more. However, more and more. However, since He is infinite, no matter how far we go, we are still at point zero. And this is the beauty of it. It never ends. It never ends. And especially when, inshallah, we go to paradise, it's a fascinating world. Every day you have a new experience of God, which is absolutely different from yesterday's experience, but still you are at point zero. And this shows why those who had some knowledge of God were so humbled. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. I think whatever we experience in this world, we are experiencing Him in one sense. This is the capacity. I sometimes think that the eyes with which I see things, it is a window that Allah has opened towards Himself within us. And this is the way He speaks to us. إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَالِقُ الْحَبِّ وَالنَّوَىٰ. Allah splits the seed of plants. يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ. You see the dead, that the living comes out of the dead, that dead comes out of the living. ذَلَكُمُ اللَّهُ. This is God. This is God, the way you can experience Him. When you go, move further and further, you can experience Him more. However, if you were to know what He is, then He is limited. Then it will end. Then there is no room for progress. It's the beauty of it. However, the way we have to see all this is that He is just giving. Just giving whatever we have. I mean, we can see, we can eat, we can drink, we can taste. The problem with human beings is that we always think that we have gained all these things by ourselves. I have worked for it. I have obtained it. I have my eyes, Allah should look after it. It seems that we have brought all of this from our own treasures, while it's not the case. He is giving all the time, every day He is giving it. And I think if we live with this perspective, we can experience Him very nicely inside ourselves. Now, one interesting thing is that this hadith, which says "Man arafa nafsahu faqad arafa rabbah," we usually mean that it take it as if we know ourselves, we can know God. That's true, because our soul is a window towards Him. Just like our eyes is a window towards His creation, our soul is a window towards. But some people have interestingly taking it in this way, that if anyone can know his own soul, he can know God. That means you even cannot know what you are. How do you want to know what God is? And even today in psychology, in other sciences, you are really amazed how complicated creation human being is. We don't know what human being is. We don't know what is a drop of water. We don't know what is inside atoms. We don't know what is the world of a bird. How do we want to know what is God? So let's just be content with what we see and experience, and then inshallah Allah will increase this.
So
Obviously, the Quran clearly says that when they ask you about the ruh, tell them that it is a command of God and that we know very little about it. You suggested that the prophets know the angels, but they don't know the ruh. I get the feeling that even with angels, it's not simple and straightforward that they know them that well. And the Quran many a time seems to imply, although it may not necessarily be the ruh that is being referred to in Surah Qadr, but as you mentioned, Ruh al-Amin came to the Prophet. But we have even in Surah Nahl, where it says, يُنَزِّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ بِالْرُوحِ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ عَلَى مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ أَنْ أَنْذِرُوا أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاتَّقُونَ. That, in fact, this ruh can go to any of his servants. And then we find that the ruh actually went to Maryam. And what is strange that we find in Surah Maryam, that here it is not referred to just any ruh, but says ruh, ruhana, that our ruh went to Maryam. In terms of the angels, you find that many a times that, for example, with Prophet Ibrahim, with Prophet Musa, although in our Prophet, concerning our Prophet, you find in Ahadith, but that when the angels came, that the Prophet sometimes didn't recognize them, or they got frightened of them. So is it really correct to suggest that, you know, they did know angels, but they didn't know Ruh? Doesn't it seem to be that they didn't? And in fact, Ruh seems to be, from time to time you find that Ruh is the same as angels, although you might argue that that is suggesting that that is similar to our ruh, that they have a connection with Allah. And is there something to suggest that this ruh is being talked about is something different?
Yeah, thank you. Of course, the aspect of ruh is very complicated. As I mentioned, in Maryam, in Surah Maryam, it says, فَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهَا رُوحَنَا فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا. So we know that angels can have tamathul in form of human beings. And of course, that would be in mind of Maryam or any prophets. As for example, Jibreel usually had this tamathul or sort of manifestation in form of human being for the prophet. But only Prophet saw him, no one else could see him. Now here, Ruhana, everyone says that this was Jibreel. فَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهَا رُوحَنَا, they say this is Jibreel. And Jibreel is sometimes referred to this Ruh without any attribute, or it says Ruhul Qudus or Ruhul Amin. And as I said, probably Jibreel is called Ruh because he's very close to that world of knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as our souls are called ruh. However, what we have in Surah Mu'min, that يُنَزِّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ بِالْرُوحِ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ عَلَى مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ لِيُنْذِرَ يَوْمَ التَّلَاقِ, it means that every soul if they want to be somehow united with that world of angels, which brings down the revelation, they have to be supported by an extra ruh, which becomes part of human soul. As we have in many traditions, that the prophets and a'imma alayhim salam, they have an extra ruh. Now, these ruh again refers to aspects of human soul, which they say there's this ruh of living, then there's ruh of knowledge and understanding, then there's ruh al-Qudus, which comes to human beings, ruh al-Shahwa, ruh al-Ghadab, they all refer to different aspects of human soul. However, this one is very interesting, because human beings, to be able to connect to the world of angels, they need an extra support from God in their soul, which Allah calls it a new ruh given to them. يُلْقِ الرُّوحَ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ سَرِدَ يُلْقِ الرُّوحَ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ عَلَى مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عَبَادِهِ لِيُنْذِرَ يَوْمَ التَّلَاقِ. This ruh should come first, which is an extension of human ruh, and then they would be able to connect to the world of angels. In Surah Shura, it also says, وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا. In this way, we reveal to you, or we disclose to you a ruh from our command, which after that you could know what the world of angels are. مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ. Before that ruh coming to you, you didn't know what was book, what was faith. Now you know all these things. And it's not only about the prophets, about mu'minun as well. We have وَأَيَّدَهُمْ بِرُوحٍ مِّنْهِ. The mu'minun, Allah supports them with a ruh from himself. These different meanings of ruh indicates that it's a very, very complicated concept. However, this ruh, which is somehow used with angels, يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الرُّوحُ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ تَعْرُجُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُّوحُ إِلَيْهِ, and here تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُّوحُ, we have in our traditions that this is a different creation. It's completely different from angels. It's something which belongs to a higher realm of creation. This is what we understand. Otherwise, as you say, it's very complicated.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Alaikum assalam.
Trying to understand the same format what Nizar just started. One aspect of it is, it could be because the Quran has to be for maybe 3,000-4,000 years. What we know now about science wasn't known 200 years ago. So if I was to put in my head that the microcosms, you know, something that comes out of the sun is also a ruh. It's a micro, small little thing. In some way, somehow, that's going to come down to this earth and decide between chromosome X and chromosome Y, for example. Yeah? So it's a decision-making process. Now, it could be totally something beyond our comprehension. Even now, another 200 years down the line, they might discover something even bigger or even tinier than an atom, maybe. So that in its place. The problem comes when you think God is either something called hope. Either he's hope or he's something practical, something explainable. The agents could be ruse or anything. The only complication with this is this: when the hadith say that there is a ruh which is controlling the angels, then you think, a little ant doesn't need management. He's made the ant so that it doesn't require management. Then why is it then that the angels require management by a higher angel? You know, it's slightly confusing. Are we trying to have a hierarchy structure here just so that human beings can understand it? Because we haven't understood the ant. It doesn't have a hierarchy structure.
Well, actually it says it does, that every ant have several angels managing it. Every human being have several angels managing it. But as I said, this is something beyond the world of the chain of cause and effect. It's in a different dimension. So this is a different type of understanding. You see, we can understand this world as it's self-sustaining, and it is. It's self-sustaining. However, we can say that, well, how is it self-sustaining? How is it possible for matter to be self-sustaining? You see, everything is, I mean, goes into chromosomes, and I mean, no matter how deep you go, there is always a material, a physical cause, no matter how far you go. However, then the whole material world is sustained by something else. This is, and we shouldn't think that people in old ages, they thought that there is no cause and effect, and the angels are man. No. I mean, if you go to books of theology, not only of 1400 years ago, I mean, when we had this Islamic theology, atomists, others, and but books of theology of several thousand years ago, you would see they have discussed this issue of cause and effect in its fullest form. And none of them have said that, yes, at this point God intervenes or angels come in. No. It's, as you said, it's a hierarchy. There are things going there. Now, some very cynical people may say that these clerics have made all these things for this hierarchical, political world of themselves. They want the hierarchy, they themselves to be at the helm of the hierarchy. Well, you can think of that. It's very cynical, anyhow.
Okay, I think we'll end there. Thank you very much. Salawat.